Thanks for listening to the Replatform podcast, sponsored by Crown Peak and Elastic Path and hosted by me, James Gerd. We bring you interviews with industry thought leaders and the C-suite of tech companies and leading retail brands to showcase e-com tech and help you decide what's relevant to your business and hopefully discover new solutions. In return, all we ask is you tell other people about the podcast and share or like our posts on LinkedIn. And if you're new to the show, give us a rating on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever else you're listening. So thanks, and we hope you enjoy the latest episode. Our topic today is an interesting one. We're getting to grips with Gartner's newest digital commerce quadrant edition, Scale Commerce Engine. Now, the technology's been around for quite a while, but it's recently made it into Gartner's quadrant and it's starting to make headway in the UK market. So we are welcoming two people today who've got a stack of experience in retail e-commerce and technology. We have Tarek Müller, who's the co-founder and MD of one of Germany's largest e-com retailers, About You, which sells, I believe, over 400,000 products from over 2,000 brands. It's billion-plus euro sales. That's huge retail e-commerce. And the tech that underpinned About You was spun out to create scale and provide platform as a service to other retailers, including massive brands like Deichmann, Otto Group, Depot, etc. So very well known in Germany, expanding across Europe. And we also have Rico Adler, who's an e-com expert, was a product lead for About You Commerce Suite, head of client development, and now head of solution consultant at Scale. So a stack of retail e-commerce knowledge and experience and technology experience here. So before we start our questions, gents, do you want to just take it and say, give a bit of introduction, a bit of flavor for what you're doing, and also a bit more of the depth, the story behind Scale and why you decided to enter the platform game and not just focus on being like a retail e-commerce store? I don't know, who wants to go first for the intro?
Yeah, I can go first. James, many thanks for the intro. Thanks for hosting us here. It's a pleasure and honor. As you mentioned, I'm Tarek, founder of About You and Scale. You've already given a bit of light on About You, but as we are not active in the UK, maybe a couple of words on About You. AboutYou.com is active in 29 countries in continental Europe. I founded the company 10 years ago together with two co-founders. We grew from 0 to 5 billion euro in GMV, which makes us one of the largest e-commerce platforms in the world, actually. And for sure, one of the fastest growing. Maybe also to put this a bit in context, we went public 2 years ago. Our market cap is around 1 billion. That is higher than the market valuation of Farfetch, of ASOS, of Boohoo, of Hut Group, and many other big names. So I think that's really a testament of our success. As you've rightfully mentioned, we're not only a fashion e-commerce player, but we also have a second business called Scale. We have developed our software on our own since 2014. And since 2018, we are selling that software also to external brands and retailers under the separate legal entity called Scale. Today, Scale is one of the fastest, well, I believe even the fastest growing SaaS commerce vendor, at least according to Gartner data. We have won a lot of clients. More than 140 online shops are using Scale, vast majority from the enterprise segment. And yeah, maybe we'll go into details on Scale further. But maybe Rico, first you introduce yourself.
Yeah, thanks, Tarek. Yeah, I'm Rico. As mentioned, working in e-commerce for more than 10 years now. In the last 5 years for Scale, I was responsible in different roles from delivering the product, managing the product, as well as now being in the go-to-market unit and leading the so-called solution consulting team, which is basically doing solution engineering and pre-sales. And yeah, thanks for having us here. Very happy to talk to you.
Yeah, thanks, gents. That's a really, really nice intro, because I think the really interesting story here is it's not just a technology company that's built a platform to sell. It's a real depth of e-commerce knowledge and scaling e-commerce businesses, and that is then applied into the technology. So I think that's a really important differentiation, actually. I think this is why people will find this an interesting one, because that expertise informs product roadmapping and feature focuses as well. So now we've done the intro bit for you. So, and I know you've talked about the size in terms of GMV, Tarek. What would be useful is, can you give us a sense of the size beyond just the GMV? So let's talk about what it's capable of. What scale is it handling, like products, order throughputs? Because the thing that a lot of retailers look at when they look at platform is, all right, you know, how does it cope with peak? How does it cope with concurrent baskets? How many like 1,000 checkouts have been done at once? Like, how does it do that across multiple clients to make sure the performance is maintained? So maybe you can give people a bit of flavor for how it scales and across how many and what size businesses are scaling on it, not just your own.
Yeah, happy to do that. Maybe a couple of background KPIs on Scale. Since we are public, we are also reporting this. So Scale is doing roughly 90 million in SaaS technology revenue. So as mentioned, we are the fastest growing SaaS vendor, but also one of the largest actually in the world. And more than 140 online shops use Scale. Most of them actually come from Salesforce Demandware and SAP Hybris. Scale is extremely profitable. We have a EBITDA margin of 32%. And yeah, we are profitable since day one. And the main reason for the high profitability is very low spending in sales and marketing. The reason for this is that most customers come to Scale because we are recommended by existing customers, and our win rate in RFP situations is extremely high, 90% plus. And we mostly go into RFPs for very large clients. So you were asking about peaks and kind of how much is the platform capable of doing. And I think there are many, many reasons why customers choose Scale. I would say we deep dive into this in the course of the podcast. But I mean, in general, we are serving the most complex, most difficult clients usually. And the difficulty comes from a lot of areas. Yeah, peaks is, I would say, probably the easiest area to solve. Since About You is doing 5 billion in revenue every year, the 140 online shops that are using Scale are doing even more than 5 billion. So in total, we are running more than 10 billion euro in GMV through the platform. And a lot of those, or at least a couple of those customers, work a lot with drops and see high traffic peaks. So we have customers like FC Bayern. If they hire a new player, they see crazy peaks in jersey sales. But on About You, for example, we also sell these very limited sneakers. I don't know who of the listeners are into that sneaker game, but these sneakers are usually sold out literally within seconds. Yeah, we are bombed by bots. Thousands of customers try to buy a very small amount of sneakers. And we have Snipes, which is also like this trend FOMO-driven drop company. And then we have a couple of other clients that are working in drops. So it is not only Scale handling 10 billion in overall GMV, which is a lot and actually already shows you the ability to scale, but a lot of them actually also generate a significant part of their revenues in very short time periods. And therefore, Scale from day one was a system that scales extremely well, and we never had any problems with traffic peaks whatsoever. And that is probably one reason why customers choose us. But as mentioned, it's probably the smallest reason, because to be honest, a well-run and maintained software also from another vendor should always be able to handle traffic peaks. I think going offline because of a traffic peak is really 2010. It's a 2010 issue, I would say. Yeah, it shouldn't be an issue today anymore. And if it is an issue, with full honesty, I believe it's usually an issue of the client, not the software. The reason why customers choose Scale over other vendors, as mentioned, especially often coming from Salesforce or SAP, are usually other reasons. It's they are multi something. They are either operating in a lot of countries and they want to have one very efficient backend to operate and manage these multiple countries, or they want to run multiple brands and storefronts out of one backend, or they have omni-channel cases being online and offline, and they want to connect these sales channels for the customers. They want to become a marketplace and or sell on marketplaces and also manage this out of one backend. This is also often a reason. And or, as mentioned, and they have a lot of complexity in the backbone. Complexity in backbone can be connecting physical stores. It could be managing multiple warehouses and wanting to have a warehouse or a logistical network that is optimized. Or they want to go more advanced when it comes to personalization, loyalty, etc. And these are typically, I mean, to sum it up, basically complexity at scale, efficiently managed. That is typically the reason why customers choose Scale.
Crown Peak, enabling organizations to build meaningful digital experiences for everyone, everywhere. engage your customers with our content management system, reach your entire audience with our digital accessibility and quality tools, and grow your brand with our product discovery solution. Find out more at crownpeak.com.
And I know that you're focused on, you know, having spoken to a few of the team, it's mainly 100 million plus retail, as you said, because of the size and the capability you've got. And you've got, you know, the brands we've mentioned, really strong German heritage, but you're now expanding in the UK, you're ramping up the business there. It'd be really useful, because I think about 45% of our listeners are UK, then we've got a lot across Europe and a lot in the US. For those in the UK, like, why now the UK? Why do you think the U? This is always a question I ask any technology provider. Why do you think the UK needs another platform to choose from?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, first of all, at the moment, our client base is mainly based in continental Europe. It's not only Germany, but it's continental Europe. But the companies that we are serving, even though they are based in continental Europe, they usually do business all over the world. Yeah, so the platform is being used for selling all kinds of categories. A lot of our clients actually come from the fashion space, but it's less because the technology can only sell fashion, but more because the access to fashion companies obviously was much easier for us being a fashion company ourselves. But the technology sells every category. We have companies selling electronics, home and living, fashion, beauty, and all kinds of stuff. I mean, literally everything can be sold over the platform. And as mentioned, even though they are headquartered in continental Europe, they usually do business in every country in the world, or at least in a lot of countries in the world. Now, sales-wise, we, as mentioned, we have lived from being recommended so far and having an extremely high win rate. But obviously, now we want to expand the client base also to countries where About You is not so well known, because obviously one reason why a lot of continental European companies actually basically knew about SCAYLE and were hooked was also the success of About You, which is not so transparent in UK or the US. So it will take more time for us to build momentum in the UK. But ultimately, knowing About You is usually just the door opener, and what people then see through us demoing the software, through giving access to, you know, the source, the documentation, etc., is usually a really superior piece of software for companies being very complex. And I do believe that will hold true in the UK as well. So why UK? First of all, UK is the largest software market in Europe. And obviously we want to play where our customers are. So there are a lot of potential customers in the UK. There are a lot of companies in the UK that really fit to the needs that we cater to. So internationalization, multi-something, multi-warehouse complexity, omni-channel loyalty, personalization, marketplace, and so on and so forth. So we know there are a lot of UK customers that actually struggle with all of these topics because their current software solution is not capable of efficiently solving these problems. And yes, we are yet another software player in a market, you know, full of software players. I've attended an expo in London a couple of months ago, and I mean, it's unbelievable how many software vendors there are out there. And everyone says the same. Everyone says, I'm great, I cater enterprise, etc. But in fact, they don't solve the problems of their clients. And I know, we know, having seen all of them in pitches already, knowing them very well, that we have a superior technology. And it is superior because, first of all, it had been built for 10 years. And while it had been built, we were in the arena every day. So we're not selling a tool, but we're also using that tool on a constant basis. So the iteration speed that is in our software is just so much faster. And it's built from technology people with actual e-commerce know-how and being in the arena every day, fighting to win market share. And I would say growing from 0 to 5 billion really shows you that we are not just talking about e-commerce, but we really know firsthand how e-commerce works. Yet SCAYLE is a separate legal entity with its own team. So we are dedicated to the customer success at SCAYLE, and we have built a piece of software that is much better than the software that is out there, catering, I would say, a niche market. I know that a lot of companies are actually speaking about being enterprise, but if you then look into their install base, they usually define enterprise a bit differently than we would define it. They probably serve clients that seem to be a big name, but if you then look into the complexity level they have, they're actually quite simple. and or quite small in the online revenue. And the typical enterprise client, being complex and large in online sales today, sits with Salesforce and SAP. From all vendors out there, they are the only ones that really have a significant install base that is actually large and complex. And, you know, I have great respect from these companies, but they are legacy technologies. And I don't think that SAP and Salesforce are the future when it comes to how to run a software, an e-commerce business, and having you know, a good piece of software. So to be honest, they are ready to be disrupted. And I think we are here to disrupt them. And I see very little competition for us in this field of large, complex companies looking for a piece of software.
ElasticPath is on a mission to break through the barriers that prevent commerce leaders from delivering extraordinary shopping experiences. Both business and tech teams are able to innovate on their own terms, fully embrace composability, and in turn, never compromise on what's possible. Learn more at www.elasticpath.com.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was having this discussion the other day on LinkedIn about enterprise, and I think enterprise is, there's no consistent definition of it, which is confusing as hell. But for me, enterprise is not defined by GMV. I agree, it's fundamentally defined by operational complexity, business process and technology, systems architecture, and how complex and all of the different integrations. I think that defines enterprise far better than GMV, because you've got a lot of fast growth D2C brands that are hitting $100 million plus very quickly. They are the least complex businesses. They are a very simple product. So like Kylie Jenner Cosmetics, that's not an enterprise business. But it's like how many hundred million dollars a year on Shopify. So yeah, I think that's a really interesting distinction. And with that context, I think now let's drill down into some of the scale features and capabilities. I think this will be interesting for people to hear how the platform's set up. So I guess a question for you, Rico, because you've obviously been deep in on the consultant side and working with e-commerce clients, and also the background with the About You, when it was About You Commerce before it spun out. Now, let's start with the basics. So scale is headless by design, if I've answered this correctly. It's not like you have a theme engine like a BigCommerce or a Shopify. It'd be interesting to know, why did you go down this route rather than offering templating engine and themes?
Yeah, very good question. True, we are headless by design, meaning back in 2014, basically, when About You started and started to build the software of scale, it was decided that headless is the future, and we still are convinced that it is, basically because of two major reasons. So A, it's the flexibility perspective that you have in the consumer-facing layer, and B, it's the performance perspective, and we not only believe, but also I think it's proven, that performance and site performance matters in terms of conversion rate impact. So on the performance, we believe in single page applications that combine client side and server side rendering and basically just request the data when they need it. Also in terms of personalization, this is very helpful. Yeah. On the flexibility angle, I think two topics. A, we believe in headless because we think it's crucial to not narrow down the scope of channels that you can serve your customers with. Meaning our customers, our scale customers, yeah, they don't know yet via which channels they want to sell in the future of their D2C strategy. And you should not narrow this down. Therefore, decoupling the front-end layer, very important. It might be just a mobile app, it might be an in-store kiosk or some other fancy stuff that you want to address your customers in the future with. And I think headless prepares for it. Second part of flexibility is the speed of innovation and time to market. And this caters basically to the autonomy that you create for your dev team in the front end to really iterate fast and to really create compelling differentiating features, test features. Because we not only believe, but also have seen at About You that the pace of a business model iteration and trial and error in e-commerce pays off. Yeah? So these are basically the reasons why we decided from the very beginning and are still convinced in the headless by nature design.
Interesting. And also what I've understood is that, so customers can choose whatever front end stack they want, because that's the separation, the API capability. But you've also built your own front-end framework that clients can use. If they don't want to go out and create something custom, they can take your, I guess, I'm going to call it an accelerator just because I think it's easy terminology for people to use. And I guess that's one of the things that people have struggled with in the past is, oh, God, what front-end do I use, especially if they're doing it in-house? Can you talk us through the front-end you provide, the front-end framework? Like, how advanced is it? Like, how aligned with standardized, like, e-commerce paging templates and capabilities and logic? What setup that people can use and repurpose versus what would people have to build themselves?
Yeah, super question. So absolutely true. We started out fully headless with backend capabilities covering PIM, shop management, checkout, and OMS. The first scale customers didn't have the offering yet of this accelerator, as you named it. Yeah. So we quickly got the feedback that it's super nice that they have the flexibility now and the openness of a headless design, but they underestimated what it means to start from scratch and to build the front end and take the responsibility of the front end. So therefore, we quickly also developed an offering there, which is completely optional. You can choose whatever front end approach you wanna have, build custom, use other front end as a service vendors, or optionally use our storefront. So what is it and what does it bring? So basically, it's a fully functioning online shop. It's based on Vue.js and Nuxt.js. It's using Tailwind CSS. So it's easy to onboard new developers and also easy to customize it. It's completely integrated with the Scale storefront APIs, with the checkout module, connected by default to headless content management systems for the editorial content aspect. And it's basically equipped with all the functions that each online shop needs, from product listing pages, product detail pages, filters, add to basket, wishlist, my account, you name it, authentication flows. So all of the stuff that usually your developer teams would need to build is already there. Therefore, the term accelerator, I think, works quite well. But of course, we provide more than this. As we also add continuously new features in the backend, we also continuously add new components in the frontend. Recent examples have been store inventory locators with the huge omnichannel direction that we are heading to, subscription components for the product detail page in order to trigger recurring orders, and advanced promotion communication, just to mention a few of them. I mentioned it's easy, adjustable. This is what also the dev teams feedback us. Due to the Vue Nuxt setup, where you can build composables and also use the composition API to share them across different parts of your project, that's pretty handy. And what else? We provide a component library based on Storybook. We provide unit tests via Cypress, and a full-fledged tracking integration. So all the relevant e-commerce events, product viewed, product added to basket, and so on, is basically pushed to the data layer and can from there be consumed by whatever tracking service you're using. On top of the very fast storefront API that we provide, it's a Go application that usually has average response times lower than 20 milliseconds. On top to this, we decided to also provide a Redis caching layer for this application in order to be even more performant, but it's also there, absolutely flexible, adjustable, depending your personalization strategy and so on. Yeah. The application, the storefront accelerator, can be deployed to any hosting provider that can run a Nuxt and a Redis-based application, for example. But we also provide the option that we take care of the hosting and would then basically go with providers like Platform SH or Versal. So in sum, we think, and we will still focus on this in the future, that it's a pretty powerful offering that we have there. And it can really help to accelerate the time to market, which we have seen for customers, to mention some examples like Fielmann, one of the world's largest opticians. I think it's comparable to the UK with Specsavers, which might be a little bit more known there. So they basically launched in a record time and have very complex custom logic written on top for their configurators for correctional glasses. As well as, for example, FC Bayern Munich also using our storefront. I think this helped these customers quite a lot to increase the time to market. Yeah, so we will continue to add features there.
And one thing to add here is from the philosophical perspective, where are we coming from? Like, or who inspires us maybe here? We really like Shopify. Yeah. What we like about Shopify is with Shopify, with very little resources, you can launch a very good shop. What I don't like about Shopify is as soon as you run into a bit of complexity and you've actually pointed it out, it doesn't necessarily mean GMV, but I mean, it correlates with GMV, but complexity comes from other sources. But as soon as you run into a bit of complexity and you want to customize or differentiate yourself, then it becomes very hard because you're very stuck into that standard. And what we want to build is basically, and that's also one reason why we have the storefront boilerplate, is we want to give customers the ability to really kickstart an online shop with very, very little resources to build a very, very, very good online shop. And then have the ability to move away from standard wherever the company needs to move away or wherever the company wants to differentiate themselves even more. And I think that is the perfect sweet spot, basically delivering a huge scope similar to SAP and Salesforce on modern technologies that everyone, you know, would use today with a boilerplate and a standard set that makes time to market very fast and takes out execution risks like you would see in a lot of those Mach architectural projects like Commerce Tools, for example, etc. I think this is also good what they do, but it contains a lot of execution risk. I believe we have really managed to build the best of these three worlds, the flexibility due to the composability of our system that a Mach system allows you. So basically going best of breed in the modules that you want, at the same time with a very large scope that we deliver out of the box that gives you a very high safety for implementation and this easy to use for a business user, also easy to use cool experience like a Shopify, even in the backend. Yeah, I mean, if business users see our backend, they're really excited because it's really fun to work in the scale backend. Yeah, and I think this is really the perfect combination and how an enterprise shop system should look like today.
I think the other thing that you haven't mentioned is portability, and I know that we're coming on to a question around like the ecosystem in the UK. You're trying to build out the partnership stuff, but one of the things where Shopify, it's interesting you've done that allusion of like platforms that philosophically you respect, is what they've done smartly is they've built out their hydrogen option, headless option, but on a standardized framework as well, so that a lot of the agencies will use that to create the headless solution, which means if you need or want to change partner, you don't have to completely rebuild everything because you're going from one front end stack to a completely different one. Because individual agencies have different biases toward different tech. And that's a massive thing when people are considering investment, because people don't want to rip out a platform in a front end in 3 years' time. But actually, maybe they've outgrown an agency partner and need a more enterprise partner. And that standardization is so important. So it's really interesting to hear that. And I think that's that people want that. They want this idea of composability needs to be married with portability. And composable to portable for me is not the right thing. So yeah, interesting to hear that. It brings me on because Regan
and I would also add. Sorry, I would also add to the 100% sign what you say, and I would also add standardization because a company we love is Commerce Tools, yeah. But on the other hand, what we see is even in very complex cases, 80% is actually standard. You know. Even if you're like super complex, at the end of the day, usually, you know, I have a checkout, there's usually a transaction, there's a payment done, there's an order that needs to be routed somewhere, and at the end of the day, there's a parcel arriving at the customer. So, you know, a lot of the things are actually standard. And what I really truly believe is software projects are so complex, try to take out the complexity on things where actually it's not complex. Yeah. So what we try to bring to the table is on all the things where you are not special, and every company has some cases where they are special and a lot of cases where they are actually not special. Mm. Reduce complexity on the things where you're not special to increase the or to decrease the risk of failure in execution and implementation and to increase the speed of going live. And we have delivered on that. The vast majority of our projects actually go live within 6 months, which in this very complex enterprise world is a tremendous success. You know, the same complexity of customers probably need 18 months plus with these, you know, larger legacy vendors. And I think the secret here is what you've said combined with a high degree of standardization on everything that is actually not special.
Yeah, that's a really nice addition. That I always say this to people is when you're looking at and considering platforms, like 80% of econ functionality doesn't influence a vendor decision. It's just you can do it. And if you want to tailor it, okay, tailor it. But most of the time you don't need to. It's those complex integration processes, those business specific processes, and especially when you get into B2B, there's always some nuance in there for each business. I really want to drill into the omnichannel bit because I think this is a really interesting part of the platform. And having worked with a few larger retailers, some of the stuff around handling stock logics, when you're connecting stock from stores, when you've got different warehouses, when you've got order routing, you know, some have ERP, some don't. I'd love to, can you give people a bit of an explanation? How much of that order management and like that logic piece and orchestration is handled by scale and you have all of that logic built onto the platform versus how much is typically handed off to ERPs or does it just not matter because you can handle it either way?
Yeah, very good question. I can comment on this. So true, this is a challenge, the entire order routing, order handling space, given that in the POS world, oftentimes there is very customized system logic in place, POS systems, ERP systems, sometimes also pretty legacy systems. So connecting via APIs is sometimes even the challenge. So therefore, there is a decent proportion of tell us what you have and then we find a solution approach for it and less a we're going to rip everything out and solve everything via scale. Yeah. So I think this question not only goes down to what is scale capable of doing, feature question, but also what is the organization of the scale customer willing to do first. Yeah. So therefore, we oftentimes don't talk the feature talk too much, but more the migration strategy and the organizational capacity questions. But in fact, scale can handle quite a lot of this. So we are able to handle multiple thousands of stores with all the meta information that you want to store there flexibly. Opening hours, exceptions for the opening hours for late night shopping, geolocation, store employees, including permission handling, very important topic for us. Also permission handling, if you offer a lot of features, you also need the flexibility to take away the permission for some people. So all of this can be easily handled by scale. In fact, also the store inventory in real time. Product availabilities, which products are there, which inventory level is there, and store specifically also configuration of, for example, buffer stock. Yeah, in case you have a connection to store systems that introduces some kind of latency or for some other business reasons that you want to include a buffer stock, all of this is possible. Yeah, and then talking about the routing logic. Yeah. I think this depends on two perspectives that we have to take into consideration. One is the fulfillment policy, we call it, yeah? So the delivery option that the end user chooses. Imagine the end user is in the web shop. They can choose click and collect, click and reserve, ship from store if the scale customer want to offer this to the end customer to be selected. So this is one part of the question. The other part is the specific configuration of the scale customer's scale instance. Yeah? And this is a bit more complex because this can take into account quite a lot of different criteria, things like which stores do you have? Are they in a certain way prioritized against each other? Should there be a logic for rerouting, for example, if a certain order is routed to a store but not accepted there or accepted too late? So store-specific SLAs can also be configured in scale. In order to make sure that each store has also a target to, for example, pick and pack orders or to inform the customer that the order is ready to be picked up. In the end, a lot of more store-specific configurations, like is a certain store capable of doing ship from store? If yes, scale can connect to the carrier in order to have shipment label printing there, in order to inform carriers when certain amount of packages are ready to be picked up and shipped from store. So all of these things play a role in the order routing and then can be basically configured to the scale customer's instance. I think very important is to underline also what we don't do. Yeah? So we are not the POS system replacing the POS system handling all the cash and so on. Yeah? But we usually connect to POS system, live aside from them, and then it completely depends on the use cases that the scale customer wants to introduce. And we are currently implementing all of these features for large omnichannel and brick and mortar driven or brick and mortar based customers of scale, like Deichmann, having I think around 4,200 stores, so pretty huge. And I think it's also fair to say that the more customers we add to the scale partner base with an extensive set of physical brick and mortar stores, the better we will get, because we will continuously co-innovate with them as they know the space, they know the challenges better than, for example, About You. Yeah, and therefore, we are continuously co-innovating with them.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, it's quite impressive, actually, the amount of logic you can get in the platform, because that's often where some platforms struggle. They can enable things on the front end, but they might not have the logic connectors to be able to get those flows right and the data exchanges right, especially with the store connectivity. There are so many areas of platform we could talk about. I'm deliberately focusing on a couple of key ones. The next one is PIM, because I know you offer a PIM, and that's an advantage to a lot of people who want to simplify systems landscape and not have lots of additional third-party licenses. Can you just give me a bit of give people a bit of flavor? Is this purely around product data management for e-commerce, or is it actually what I'd call an enterprise PIM, which has the other capabilities like digital asset management? It enables you to do different data views for data feeds out to other channels, or even the ability to have a supplier portal where your suppliers can come in and download assets from. Yeah, what does it do? What doesn't it do?
Yeah. So I think it's fair to say its primary focus of our PIM module is the digital channels, because we believe that having product data being available to the people that try to sell the products, yeah, is beneficial, and not being the ones needing to open the ticket for a new attribute if you want to roll out a sustainability campaign or voucher. So this is the benefits, and therefore we are focusing on the digital channels. But I think there's more to this. It's more than just the product data handling. It's really a PIM module that caters to extensive and heterogeneous assortments. Yeah, as Tarek mentioned in the very beginning, we have customers that are selling more than 6 million products of basically every category that you can imagine, with different product data requirements per category. Yeah, all of this can be managed. And of course, these customers also serve other channels with the product data. So they don't only serve the e-commerce webshop, but might also use the feed engine that we provide to have social shopping platforms or outbound marketplaces basically being served with product data. We provide a DAM, data asset management, for the assets related to products, also different asset types. And we also connect by default to Akamai as a CDN, and also in order to also provide the delivery in a high performance way of the assets. On the supplier portal angle, we are multi-merchant ready. This, for example, About You uses to have almost 400 different merchants now as an inbound marketplace, pushing data into the platform and also managing data to a certain extent. And this multi-merchant feasibility, as well as the extensive permission handling that we provide, allows scale customers to very granularly construct roles and grant access to their suppliers in order to only, for example, refine data that belongs to them, products that belong to them. And on top, we also have a feature called Missions, which is basically a workflow builder that allows to dynamically cluster and select products that might lack a certain product data quality or have some other tasks to be done, and then to push them towards the, for example, supplier users in order to distribute the work most efficiently. And on top, we provide an add-on framework in order to extend the scale business user interface. This is kind of micro front-end that are injected in the scale pedal, as we call it. And this is also used by a lot of our customers to even go one step further, to give some nice dashboards on product data quality per supplier, to introduce sustainability scores of the product data, and so on. There's quite a lot of possibilities there.
Nice. That's interesting. I didn't know that it had that extensibility, because I know that there are some PIMs that enable that, but not many. And that's one of the key things that often people fall short of when they're doing evaluations is, well, actually, I've got really custom, especially now in some of the consumer brands wanting to show that whole supply chain sustainability and the environmental impact of products. So that's nice. It's a good example. And I get that. Let's go to a couple more kind of strategic and visions questions now. So my understanding from the conversations we had so far is you've got pre-existing integrations. Obviously, you've got About You that's grown to a massive size. You've got lots of different customers, so you've had to do integrations for key systems they're using. But you're not planning to be a massive app exchange like a Shopify app store. Is that correct? So it seems like you're focused on key integration areas like ERP, payments, CMS, rather than like all of the areas. Is that a fair thing, or are you actually planning to change that?
Yeah, so it's a fair thing to say. This is one of our higher strategic directions that we want to expand. Yeah, but it's also fair to say that we don't want to like strategically have thousands of integrations with all the service providers out there. Why? We see that in the space of companies that we talk to, so the enterprise space as we define it, a lot of the services that are required are the same. So the names that are dropped there per domain basically are the same. So what we will provide is for each domain, the leading services that we have there, we will provide them out of the box as an integration. And we will primarily also focus on personalization, data-driven marketing, as well as front-end and content management systems. But of course, there are other categories that we will also provide the integrations with the leaders like PSPs, where we already have most of the leading companies integrated, but also techs or search engine providers, because they are just like hygiene functions that you need in certain regions. So this this is definitely an ambition to provide the integrations out of the box. But as mentioned, it's not our goal to integrate with as much as possible, because we also see if a certain third-party service is required that we might not have connected yet. During a migration project, it's usually pretty easy and straightforward to connect to them. And then we would also use these kind of field integrations to provide these integrations as reusable.
Yeah, it makes sense, because you're not targeting the small business or the SME market, where actually having those hundreds and thousands because of lots of different low cost or even free options makes sense. So yeah, I understand that makes perfect sense given your target market. And then the other kind of strategic go-to-market question, I don't know which of you wants to take this, which I think is going to be interesting to those specifically in the UK listening, or is approach to SI, system integrators, agency partners. I know you're currently working with Astound. I know this is a key area. Can you talk us through what are your plans? Like what can the UK market expect in the next 12 months from scale over here?
Yeah. Maybe I take that. So, pretty much as the answer from Rico regarding this add-ons or plugins, here our strategy is also not to optimize on quantity, but rather optimize on quality. So basically fewer, bigger, better. Yeah. So as Rico mentioned, it's not our goal to have like thousands of integrations to whatever search or whatever plugins there are out there, but to have you know, to work with the industry leaders and then have a really deep integration. It really works well and out of the box. And, you know, again, fast time to market, etc. And the same strategy we apply for our solution partners. So we are in conversations with a lot of solution partners in the UK. I think it's fair to say that there's huge interest because they have obviously noticed our success in continental Europe, and they also believe that we're going to be successful in the UK. So there's a broad set of SIs that are very interesting, and we are doing a quite extensive due diligence before we go into a cooperation. And what we also did in continental Europe is actually constantly monitor SIs and actually even delist an SI if they don't perform, because it's our clear goal to have a few solution partners that are really deep into our system, where we also do quality assurance during the implementation project. And by this, make sure that if a customer chooses Scale and one of our solution partners, that this project will be successful. And there's a very egoistic reason for it, because if a project fails, usually the client says the system was shitty. And even if the system was actually a great system, but, you know, the client made a mistake, or I don't know, whoever made a mistake, you know, at the end of the day, the blame goes to the software vendor. And, you know, having that said, for us, it's extremely important that projects are successful. We have an extremely good track record and successful projects in time, in budget, in quality, and you know, therefore it's very crucial to select the right partners.
Yeah, that's good to hear, because I fully agree. The best agency vendor relationships I've seen is where the vendor has a level of oversight and there is an accreditation process, whatever that might be, to validate that they understand and can develop on that stack properly, and haven't just signed an agreement just because that gives them some extra marketing and PR. And also, actually, any sensible client, especially the businesses you're dealing with, is going to be asking that question about what is your QA process and how do you ensure that the implementations are the right standards during the process anyway. So I think that will reassure people to know that it's not just, right, leave the agency, off you go. And one final question I've got.
And James, one more addition maybe to that. I think that's also quite special, is we have our own Scale agency. So we have basically our in-house SI. And if, you know, if shit hits the fan, they'll jump in and, you know, make sure the thing goes live. Yeah. So, because, like, for us, it's like, we want to make sure there are only successes, you know, and as a last letter of resort, we'll bring our own resources and make sure that the project is a success.
I think that's so important, because one of the platforms I have a soft spot for is BigCommerce. And one of the reasons is because the technical solution involvement is really sharp, and they stay involved with the client and they really try and add value during the process, rather than just saying, right, you've got an agency now. And I think that stands vendors through the test of time, because that builds trust and confidence in that ecosystem. So yeah, nice to hear. I hadn't realized that there was that level of internal, like, professional service capabilities. That's a nice addition. My final question, and it's a really open-ended one, which is, you know, what does the future look like for you? Like, what are your ambitions as a company? You know, what are you trying to achieve, basically? I think people want to hear that. They want to know what does success look like for Scale over the next, you know, couple of years?
Yeah. Sorry, but I want to add one more thing to the previous question on, you know, SI and, you know, making projects successful. I think there is a third component that is extremely crucial for a successful project, and that is requirement definitions done right. Yeah. So it needs a good software, it needs a good SI, but it also needs a good client to make a project successful. And I think the thing where the client can fuck it up usually is making really stupid requirements. Yeah. Or just
never,
whatever, you know, project management fails that can happen. And I think, you know, a big advantage of Scale is that there's a good proportion of Scale employees that had actually worked for About You before. So we can really have an in-depth conversation with a Scale client, whether a feature request is really necessary and whether there's a lever in that or not. And I think that is another reason why our projects are very successful, is because we are really trying to bring in business people as well as technology people, both with insights and, you know, experience from e-commerce, and then discussing feature requirements. and I'm making sure that there are requirements that actually, you know, solve the problem and, you know, level the business of the customer and not just doing whatever the customer asks for. At the end of the day, we always do whatever the customers ask for, but I think what customers love about us is that we challenge and, you know, kind of review the things that the customer says and basically give feedback. Obviously, at the end of the day, the decision sits with the customer.
I spent my life in that with customers as well, which is, do you really need that, or should it work like that, or why does it work like that? And nobody else does it like that. Do you really want to spend the time? I think it's so important, and it's constructive rather than critical. It's, you get the best outcomes by challenging people and making sure they thought through their decisions. So yeah, 100% agree.
Absolutely, and sometimes it's also a versioning. Yeah, so sometimes customers said, okay, this is a launch critical feature. And then we review the feature and say, why is this launch critical? Like, let's launch, you know, and let's fix that later. But I mean, launching already will bring your business so much forward. Saying it's launch critical means the launch is postponed and, you know, you lose time where actually a better system would actually lever your business, you know. And that's also the kind of conversations I think we are much better at having with our customers, because we also have the credibility. I mean, and often, just, you know, one more anecdote, yeah. Sometimes the customer wishes for something and then we say, we don't believe that this makes sense, or we don't believe it's a lever, or it's, you know, worth the effort. And then the customer says, yeah, but I believe it's worth the effort, you know. And then we have the beauty of having About You. Then Scale goes to the About You team and says, hey guys, like, can we like test this maybe in like Estonia or whatever country where we feel it's not like this necessary, doesn't change the needle like extremely. Yeah, so we even have the opportunity of testing ideas our customers have quite fast, you know, gathering data and then going back to the customer and saying, hey, by the way, you were right, you were wrong, whatever, these are the data, let's define it as launch critical, let's put it in V2 or let's drop the idea. Yeah, and that's also obviously an advantage that we have that nobody else has. So now, this is a long excursus to your question of what our ambition is. So what is our ambition? Our ambition is clearly to become the largest software vendor in the world for our B2C enterprise. And, you know, maybe some people would say, oh, it's a bit of a crazy vision. But I mean, keep in mind, we're already at 90 million in software revenue. So we are already amongst, I would say, top 10 or so. We are the fastest growing software vendor in the e-com space. And that being said, we are only in a very small region so far. And in no time, we have managed to become, you know, one of the leading software vendors here. So I'm extremely confident that if you continue to drive innovation in our products, so new features, more performance, you know, picking up new trends like AI, but also making sure that the things, you know, that are, you know, basically standard are being advanced every day, basically making sure we always put quality of software first and not sales. That also means every now and then, obviously, you know, refactoring our own systems, making sure we stay, you know, ahead of the game. And I'm sure we won't lose this. Yeah, we will always be a software and technology and product led company and not become a sales led company, you know, where product maybe comes second. For us, product and customer success comes first. And I'm sure as long as we, you know, keep true to our DNA and philosophy, we will always have the best product, and the best product in the long term will always win. But the best product alone will obviously not win alone. So we also have to build up the brand Scale. We are now, as being one of the reasons of being here in the podcast, obviously coming to the UK. We will also expand to the US, and we will expand our sales footprint and brand footprint to all regions where our potential customers sit. And I believe it will be successful. But B2B is a very, you know, long term game. My other co-founder Sebastian and me, before founding About You, we already founded SaaS companies, so we know the space quite well. And we know, you know, it's a marathon. You have to make sure to build up a good reputation, to make sure you just build success cases. And at the end of the day, you know, you need happy customers. And we are very proud of no customers ever quitted us. So we have 100% retention rate. And that for me is the most important part. As long as we have happy customers that are more successful after migration in terms of revenue growth and profit growth, we will be successful. And, you know, sales has a pretty easy job at Scale. I hope that stays. And through keep having the best product, through keep driving innovation, through keep having very happy customers, I think that's the path to disrupt and take over the revenue and profit pools of Salesforce and SAP and, you know, all the clients that are looking for a software that solves complex things. Yeah, and here we are. And by the way, if you want to speak to us, visit our website. I think it's important to say that scale is written with an A-Y. That's a little hint to our About You heritage. So it's S-C-A-Y-L-E. And yeah, obviously, we're always happy to go into a conversation with SIs, with potential clients, with anyone who can help us build traction in UK, US, and everywhere else in the world.
Cool. I've really enjoyed that. It was nice to hear a bit more about the philosophy behind it as well, because I think it's important. Cultural matching is so important in large projects and long term relationships, as well as the technology, the capability, the financial viability. And I know we haven't talked about the commercial side and licensing, of course. And I think, so anybody who's listening, who's interested in things, do you know what? I quite like the sound of the attitude, the culture, the philosophy and the product. And I want to find a bit more. Then I just encourage, reach out to Tarek or Rico or Craig, who's heading up the sales side in the UK. And ask those questions about the commercials. They'll always be willing to have a conversation with you. But Tarek, Rico, really appreciate you coming on. Found that very interesting to hear more about the business and the strategy.
Many thanks for having us. It was a big pleasure. Thank you.
Likewise. Thank you.
Excellent. And thanks, everyone, for listening. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Keep your ear open for the next episode. We drop them every week. Do reach out if you want to ask any more questions. And don't forget to give us that rating or wherever you're listening or playing before you go. Thanks very much, everyone. For more information on this topic, head over to replatform.fm for our audio podcasts. To discuss a project, or if you'd like to chat about any of the topics covered in this episode in more detail, please reach out to myself, James Gird, or my co-host, Paul Rogers, via LinkedIn and Twitter. Thanks again for listening, and keep your ears peeled for the next episode.